New Orleans original run.
Okay, let me cut that short and get speaking about the previous hour. His name was, and still is, Ronald Wineland. I wasn't sure whether it was Ween or Wind, but you have apprised me of the fact that it's wine, not even Wineland, it's Wineland is the way you pronounce it. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, now, are you addressed as the Reverend?
No, I just go by my name.
Ronald Wineland.
Right.
And I'm Keith Rush. you... God's Church, in 1981, you were ordained a minister. That's a proper name, God's Church.
Correct.
Is that a non-denominational?
That's right.
Okay. And then in 19... But you don't have a great deal of formal religious training, a background, in a formal sense. Is that correct?
Oh, back before that, quite a long time, yes. I went to Ambassador College, which it's about back in 1972 and through there through 75. Had some other college before that as well, but yes, that was primarily in theology at that time.
Okay, so you have studied formally theology.
Correct.
All right. Now, where are you right now as we speak?
In the Toledo, Ohio area.
Okay, do you head a church?
Yes, I do. I primarily work with scattered groups across the country and some in Australia, New Zealand, Europe, Canada, and so forth. We trying to help a group of people concerning this book that I've written, The Prophesied End Time, and trying to help people prepare for those things that are ahead of us.
Now, is this your first published book?
Yes, it is.
All right. Now, straighten me out if I'm wrong. Don't you maintain that God has designated you as a modern-day prophet?
Correct.
And would you tell me how that epiphany, if I may refer to it, as that happened?
Well, I don't know if it's an epiphany, but but you know, it's just like what the word means, especially as it's used in the Greek language in the New Testament. And people aren't as familiar with prophets, but especially in the Old Testament, they think about that. But in the New Testament, it was more of one inspired interpretation, and so much of the Bible is prophecy. As a matter of fact, 1/5 of it is written for the end time, and it's a matter of inspiration that God has to give to interpret those things that are there or to give the meaning of those things that are there when it's His time. And over the past 7 years, that's what He's been doing. So the book, The Prophesied End Time, is a result of that.
Ronald Wineland, do you claim that when you speak, you're speaking for God?
Well, I represent those things He's given to me to talk about, yes. I don't go beyond that. I just strictly stick to what He's given me to do that respect.
And he tells you to urge us to recognize that the end time is growing closer and closer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
How close is it?
We'll start seeing things within a period of 4 years, possibly as early as this fall or this spring. And I'm talking about major events too, not small things, but very large things are going to happen right here in the United States, whether they be as a matter of terrorism or a matter of natural calamities, catastrophes of that sort, and those things will just continue to increase until our final 3.5 years at the end of this 6,000 years that God gave to man. And at that time there, then, the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, is going to return to this earth, as so many of the prophecies talk about.
And yet, having said that Jesus Christ is going to come back, as traditional Christianity predicts, You think that traditional Christianity is full of prune juice, more or less?
Well, they don't. There are not very many talking about Him coming back to set up a kingdom. They talk about Him being Christ, which is the word for Messiah, same word. And the prophecies and so much of the Bible is about Him being a king. And even when He was being put to death, matter of fact, when He was coming into Jerusalem there toward the end, they were singing out to Him, Hosanna, and putting down palm branches and so forth, and calling Him the King that has come. They thought that He was coming at that time to restore God's government on the earth and to take them away from the oppression of the Roman government. But He said that to Pilate. Pilate asked Him, are you a king? And He said, for that purpose He was born, came to this earth, but it wasn't of this age. It's for another time. And that was only 4,000 years into the time God gave to man, and we have 2,000 more years that have gone by, and we are at the end of 6,000 years. Just before that final 1,000 years, it talks about in Revelation that Jesus Christ is going to come back as King of Kings.
Okay, now you have, I haven't been able to read all your book, of course, but you need to help me out, Ronald Wineland. It seems to me, though, that you have sort of codified, if I may put it that way, three major religions, one being Islam, one being Christianity, the other being Judaism, and because you say, as though, and correctly, of course, nobody would disagree, that the three religions worship the same God of Abraham. But are you critical of any areas of Islam and or Judaism or just traditional Christianity?
Well, all three are an error. Especially Judaism. I mean, let's start it with Islam. They went off base very early on, obviously, went off and used the name of God because it came from Abraham. They had a basis there, but went off in a different direction. Judaism never accepted Jesus Christ as the Passover that he came to this earth to fulfill 2,000 years ago. Traditional Christianity recognizes him as the one who came to pay the penalty for sins, but does not recognize him as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the King that's coming back to this earth to reign. Traditional Christianity teaches people are going off to heaven. They're not going off to heaven. God is coming here. Jesus Christ is coming here to reign on the earth. And that's what so much of the book of Revelation is about. It's very clear that there is to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth.
So you're saying there that all three religions are, in one fashion or the other, errant. Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's even when Jesus Christ came and talked about religion was in error at that time. Everyone that professed to be of God was not of God. They were in error. And he was telling them what was true and what was right. And obviously the world wasn't accepting it. And that's the way it's been even since in the past 2,000 years. The world still isn't accepting it. And that's what God is getting ready to rectify. He's bringing an end to man's religion, man's government, man's ways, and he's going to establish his government, his ways on the earth.
Well, now, Ronald Wineland, has God told you about the errancy of those three religions himself? Where do you get your information that is separate and apart in many, many ways from those three major religions?
It comes through inspiration. That's the way it was throughout the Bible. That's the way Paul functioned, that God inspired and gave those things through his Holy Spirit into his very mind, into his thinking. And that's how God communicates with us in the spirit that's in man, with the Holy Spirit. And I know people claim these things, and I know people are going to think some of this is a bunch of hooey and foolishness, but the reality is that when these things begin to happen, that God is going to make it very clear what is of him and what isn't of him.
Well, now, we might appreciate it as being very clear if, in fact, you, who claim to be designated a prophet by God, if you will tell us specifically what some of those events will be. Or does he want to keep that a mystery?
No, he's telling what's going to take place step by step as they happen. Not very specific events in the sense of where it's going to strike first, what magnitude, and so forth. There is a process that's going to take place, and when those things begin to happen, there will be two individuals, there will be two prophets that come on the scene at the very end. They're called the two end-time witnesses, and God will reveal at that time who they are, and that's the final 3.5 years before Jesus Christ returns. And this book is telling people about that event that's going to take place, some of the magnitude of the destruction that's going to take place in this country. We're talking about millions and actually billions on the earth who are going to die.
Well, why does Jesus Christ want to come back like that? Why doesn't he come back in peace and understanding?
Well, that's how the world is, in some ways, traditional Christianity has pictured him as a lamb and so forth, and he is. But he's coming back with tremendous power. It talks about in Revelation 19, when he comes back with the wrath of God. He comes back to make war. He's going to put an end to man's war and man's ways, because man, frankly, hasn't ever listened to God as a whole, except for a very few that God has worked with through time, and that's very clear, obviously, in the Old Testament and in some of the New Testament.
Well, what has God been doing all these...
He's let man go his own way, and to show to mankind that he gave us the ability to choose and create on ourselves, but showing the nature of man is not one to choose God. And
God, we've got an angry God that's going to come.
No, he's not an angry God. He's been a very patient God for 6,000 years with mankind. He's let man go his own way. It's like the 7-day week. It's a cycle that God started from the very beginning. He gave 6 days to mankind to do his work, to do his thing, and then the seventh is God's. It's holy to God. And that's exactly the picture of a plan that God has for 7,000 years. 6,000 years are given to mankind to do his own thing, to have his own governments, his own religions. And throughout that time, the witnesses through the Bible, throughout time, is that man rejects the word of God. Man rejects the truth of God. They want to create God in a fashion that pleases them, and that isn't the way it works. Man does not like to be told that you're to keep a Sabbath. Man does not.
Why doesn't he come back in peace and say, look, here's the way it really is. It's about time you learned.
Well, he did the first time, and nobody accepted him.
What do you mean nobody accepted him?
There were very few that accepted him. If you go back and look at all those disciples who were following him, the majority of people that followed him quit following him, except for those apostles he specifically chose and a few others that began, and then in Acts, and finally in Acts, when God began to pour out the Holy Spirit, then there were 3,000 converted on that day.
Millions upon millions of people have followed him since, but you're saying...
No, they haven't. No, they have not.
Oh?
No, they haven't. They haven't. They're not doing what he said. You know, he kept the Sabbath. He told others to keep the Sabbath. Paul talks about keeping the Sabbath and the holy days and so forth. People don't want to hear that. They want to keep the day of the sun. They want to keep something that Israel was keeping clear back in the Old Testament, Balaam, the worship of Baal. They called it by the name of God of the Old Testament, and God had to correct them for that. He took them into captivity for that because they turned away from God, so he sent them into captivity, and they worshiped Baal, which was the day of the sun, sun worship. And man has, and this nation and other nations have been doing the same thing with traditional Christianity. They still worship the sun.
Is there a conventional, if I may put it that way, and we do conventionally, at least in Christianity, we mention heaven and hell. Of course, in Catholicism, you've got limbo and purgatory. But basically speaking, are we off the mark about what constitutes heaven and what constitutes hell after death?
Yes, I had a conversation today on a radio show here that someone was calling in and talking about, you know, heaven and hell, and told them there was no such place as hell. Hell isn't in the Bible, and Sheol in the Hebrew, and Hades in the Greek simply means a hole in the ground. It's a grave. It's where people go when they die. And yet people want to preach everybody off to heaven as soon as they die, that they have an immortal soul. Man doesn't have an immortal soul. His soul is mortal. Man can die, and only God can give life again. And same thing with heaven. Everybody wants to get up to heaven, but God, that isn't where God is taking people. No one has ever been resurrected and gone to heaven except Jesus Christ. And, you know, even Paul makes that clear. Peter makes that clear in the book of Acts. He talks about, even to the Jews, he said, you know, David hasn't even ascended into the heavens. And here was David, a righteous man. He was a prophet of God as well, prophecies in the Psalms and so forth. And yet he was telling the Jews at that time, David isn't even ascended into the heavens. Only Jesus Christ has gone into the heavens. And even Christ tried to tell people, he said, you know, where I go, you cannot come. And yet that's where people want to go. And the reality is, man stays dead until the resurrections are different resurrections, and when it comes time for the resurrection, then God will resurrect people back to life again. That's his plan and purpose, and there's a process he's working out.
Mm-hmm. You say that Christians should celebrate Passover, and yet just a little bit ago, Ronald Wineland, you said that the Passover, of course, the Jewish celebration, coincident with Easter, but you say that, rightly, that Jewish Judaism doesn't acknowledge the divinity of Jesus Christ. They acknowledge there was this man, a prophet perhaps, but not divine. So since Passover does not recognize the divinity of Christ, why should Christians who recognize the divinity of Christ substitute Easter for Passover?
Why should they substitute Easter?
Substitute Passover for Easter, excuse me.
Well, Passover was established at the beginning of time. Passover was established in the time, it was still there at the time of Christ. It's still here today. Man changed that in the Council of Nicaea back in about 325 AD, and that was the Catholic Church that did that. They went to Easter. You know, you can't find Easter anywhere in the Bible except the King James Bible, and that's a mistranslation. It's Passover in the Greek language. There's no such doctrine in the Bible about Easter. It's strictly the Passover. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the Passover, the sacrificial lamb, and because traditional Christianity won't observe the Passover, they're really not honoring him and showing that he fulfilled that part of God's plan as the sacrifice, as the lamb, to take the sins of all mankind, that his blood was spilled to the earth.
Well, what's going to happen to Jewish people then when Christ comes back for the second time? What's going to happen to the Jewish people who don't recognize that he was even here? They'll think this is the first time and they'll be all right?
No, that when Jesus Christ comes back, people are going to be willing to listen at that point. They're going to be so humble. Man is on this earth is going to be so humble by what takes place that whether it be the Jewish people or...
After he blows the hell out of us,
he's not doing that. We're doing it to ourselves. We're destroying ourselves. If he didn't intervene, he says that mankind would annihilate himself. That's the kind of power we have on the earth today. If God didn't intervene, he's going to cut it short. He is going to intervene strictly in the very last day when Jesus Christ returns and those armies that come together in the Valley of Megiddo. Absolutely. When those 10 nations of Europe come down in there to fight the Asian horde that comes up from Asia, that is when God's going to intervene, and he is going to destroy those armies by the millions it talks about.
Tomorrow will be the third anniversary of the bombing of the Twin Towers, World Trade Center, New York. Is this a part of God's overall plan to allow us to blow ourselves up and then come rescue us and resuscitate us?
He's showing the arrogance of man. He's letting man show the arrogance, reveal the arrogance of himself, the pride, the haughtiness of mankind. And we've done these things to ourselves. And the battles and the wars that are going to take place, things far, far greater than 9/11, that's going to be paled into insignificance before long here. I will tell you that new tower that they're going to build will never be built. That's how close we are.
The tower replacing the felled twin towers, that will never be built?
It'll never be finished before all these things come to pass.
What's going to happen?
Well, first of all, there's going to be great terrorism in this country because of what's happened. They talk about nuclear wars, nuclear weapons already over here that they have. Whether it be that or other types of things that take place, as well as some natural calamities are going to take place as far as things that...
Does God condone terrorism?
It's not a matter of God condoning it. It's a matter of God allowing it. God has allowed man to live his own way for 6,000 years. God hasn't condoned sin. God hasn't condoned the way man has lived, the arrogance, the pride. You know, God has always asked people, told them the same thing through time, and especially when Jesus Christ came, repent, change, turn to me, but people didn't. A very few did at that time, and a very few have throughout history, through 6,000 years, and that's the witness that God has given to mankind.
Listen, I had a 90-something-year-old aunt who died a few years ago, and at her wake funeral, she had been infirm for quite a few years, and... as a result, hadn't actually been to church, but she watched evangelists on television, and she got very fond of one, and so much so that she said that when I die, I would like for him to officiate, and in fact, he did. And among many other cockamamie things he said, and I say cockamamie, you certainly have the right to disagree, one of the things he said is how lucky my aunt was. There she is in the coffin. He's standing over her. How lucky she is to be out of this miserable world. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know what kind of life she had at that time. You know, I don't know what was happening, but...
Excuse me, forget her life. It's a miserable world, and that's what you're preaching.
No, I didn't say it's not a right world by any measure. And we've been very blessed in this country by God. He's given us the wealth we have. He's given us this nation, and we have been very blessed by him, but we have not obeyed him. And it's not the kind of world that God wants for us. So compared to the kind of world that God's going to deliver us, this isn't a very pretty world. It's pretty sick. Everything that comes out of Hollywood, everything that's in our music, this world is sick to the core, and God is getting ready to correct that, whether people like it or not. That's the message that God's giving.
Well, you say, you know, God gave us the free will, and I think most of us certainly acknowledge that. But we've blown it, so he's taking away our free will, and he's telling us how we've got to do it.
No, you'll still have your free will to choose, but there's only going to be one government when God, Jesus Christ, returns. It's either his way or the highway. You know, it's time to choose. That's what it is.
You say one government under God.
Under Jesus Christ, that's right.
He will rule.
Absolutely. That's why he's called a king. Yes. King of kings.
He will rule for 1,000 years?
Absolutely.
And then what's going to happen after 1,000 years?
After that, there's a incredible resurrection. For 1,000 years, mankind is going to work on this earth, to beautify this earth, to fill this earth. After that point in time, it's preparing for the greatest resurrection of all time. And that's everyone through 6,000 years who have ever died, that have lived and died. They're going to be resurrected back into a physical body again in God's world, to live God's way of life, to choose God's way of life this time, to be shown the truth, to be shown what is truly from God.
What's the earth going to look like when Jesus Christ comes back, and what's it going to look like over the ensuing 1,000 years of his personal rule?
Well, the beginning of it is going to be obliterated because of what we do with nuclear weapons and so forth.
We're going to go back to the caves and start all over again?
No, we're going to start cleaning up the earth.
Well, yeah, but wait a minute. It's going to be obliterated. Are we going to drive Cadillacs and Rolls-Royce and Lexus and so forth? Are those days gone?
We'll have automobiles. We'll have different kinds of things, just like we do today, except we'll be living a right way of life. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of a time. It's the end of an age.
I think you're saying, among other things, Ronald Wineland, you're saying that Jesus was very lightly believed and followed, and certainly was crucified when he came the first time. But that's not going to be the way the second time, because we're going to then all of a sudden be very humble and very much believers, and we're all going to believe in him.
Well, he's going to help everybody believe, and those who don't believe are simply going to...
Why doesn't he do that now, before? Why doesn't he do it now? Why be so dissatisfied with us?
Well, what does the Bible talk about? The Bible says, I've sent my prophets over and over and over again, and people will not listen, and they won't listen now. For 50-some years, there was a man by the name of Herbert W. Armstrong that tried to tell this world God's way of life about the Sabbath, the holy days, the plan of God, and people didn't want it.
Didn't he predict the end of the world during his lifetime?
No, he said we lived at the end time. We live at the end of an age.
Well, that's easy to say, because we can somebody 10,000 years from now can be on a radio talk show and say the end time is near.
Well, that's just the thing. God's going to show you and begin to show people what is true. And either these things are going to happen, or that's just a bunch of hooey, obviously.
But there are true believers out there amongst us, are there not? I mean, you're one, aren't you?
True believers have to do with those who obey God.
But don't we have any of those?
There are very few.
Are you one of them?
Yes.
Okay, well, then what's going to happen to you during all these terroristic acts, the explosions, suitcase atomic bombs or whatever?
Well, I don't know what God has planned. I may die. But I'll be resurrected.
Is everybody going to die and be resurrected? And then all
No, those who die will have resurrections later on. Anyone who dies, anyone who has ever died, is going to be resurrected again.
Okay, you said that. I understand that.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what Christians believe.
There are some that are going to be resurrected with Jesus Christ when he returns. There are going to be 144,000 come back with him.
Wait, 144,000?
That's right.
From where?
Through 6,000 years. People like King David and Abraham and his sons and so forth. Different ones are going to be resurrected through time. The apostles.
And they're going to, we will see them, those of us who survive, we'll see them here on this earth?
Absolutely, because they're going to reign with Christ. That's what it says in Revelation 20. It says they reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years.
Now, does Islam maintain that? Does Judaism,
no.
What does Judaism say about that?
Judaism, they didn't recognize him as the Passover. They simply recognize things about a Messiah, and they don't even agree on that. They believe that there's going to come an individual who is going to give them rule on this earth, to bring judgment and justice and so forth. They don't believe he's divine. They believe he's simply a man that is sent from God to do those things. And just like what's taking place today in Islam, a lot of people don't realize we've stirred up a powder keg over there, and because of what we're doing, we don't realize it's actually going to turn against us and hurt us mightily before this is over with, because they have their own end time prophecies. And it's just like this Muqtada al-Sadr. His army is called the army of Mahdi, Mahdi's army. And Mahdi has to do with a end-time revelation about an individual who's going to arise to relieve the oppression of those of Islam.
But I'm still not clear at all on well, many things, but there's one thing I wish you could clarify for me. When Jesus comes back and he has 140,000 people like King David, I guess King Solomon and other people, maybe Saint Peter, I don't know, are resurrected with him, so they will be here with us, we who remain. we're not obliterated. Are they going to get like us, or are we going to get like them from a standpoint of modern conveniences or not?
I'm not sure I understand your question, what you're asking.
Bill Gates, if it happens tonight, Bill Gates is going to be walking around in a leopard skin tomorrow?
Again, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I want to know what this earth is going to look like when Jesus Christ returns with 140,000 people from he's resurrected from the dead, his Father has.
Well, they're spirit beings. They manifest themselves just like Jesus Christ did when, after he was resurrected, manifest himself as a physical human being to others. They're going to be a part of the government, establishing a government around the world.
But what will Bill Gates be doing? What will J. Paul Getty's dead? What will George Soros be doing?
Well, the world is going to be changed. As far as the economic system, it's not going to be like it is today, where there are the small 10% who are the exceptionally wealthy in the earth.
We're going to have an egalitarian world.
Well, everybody's going to have opportunity to
and
education, just like we do today, except far, far better.
Are we going to have the internet? We're going to have radio talk shows?
Why not? I guarantee you we'll have things like that, but they're not going to be like they are today. You know, entertainment's going to get cleaned up.
Well, you're the prophet. I want to know what it's going to be like.
I'm telling you that people are going to obey God. That's what it's going to be like. What's the world like when people obey, you know, don't commit adultery? What kind of a world is that? How does that affect TV and radio in country western songs? How does that affect people when all of a sudden, you know, people quit lying? How does that affect politics? Can there be politics? Obviously not. You know, if things like this begin to take place, if people just start obeying the commandments of God. You know, but instead the world tries to teach all they've been done away with.
Millions and millions of people on the face of this earth are, as we are speaking, Ronald Wineland, are in fact obeying
their God,
the commands of Jesus Christ and his Father.
No, they're not.
Well,
they are to the point that they want to obey.
They're just not doing it maybe the way you do it and the way you think they ought to do
it. No, they're not doing it the way God says to do it. He says to obey me and to keep the commandments. And just like traditional Christianity, they will give lip service to the commandments and saying, and in one word, one way, saying, yeah, it's not good to murder, it's not good to lie, it's not good to commit adultery. But that fourth one, that's been changed. You know, don't keep the seventh day Sabbath because that's been changed to the day of the sun, Sunday.
You're not talking as much about individuals when you say they as leaders of the individuals in various and sundry religions. Is that correct?
No, people are deceived who follow the leaders, aren't they?
Well, so you're saying that, then you talked about the conference, the first one in what, 300 BC, AD, and that's because Catholicism felt like it was falling apart at the seams, and then when was the next conference to try to keep people in the fold and rectify.
Well, that Catholic Church at that time was totally falling away from what the truth was. They began to teach their own things. They were turning to Sunday. They used that Council of Nicaea and doing away with Passover and to turn to Easter as a part of that process. And frankly, the traditional Christianity, they have their authority in the Catholic Church is where it is. It's not in the Bible. It's from...
Catholics, Protestants, Baptists, etc., they believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, and on the third day, he arose from the dead. What's wrong with that?
They don't believe that. How can you die on Wednesday at sunset and be resurrected third day and come up with a teaching about Good Friday and Sunday morning? How do you get 3 days out of that?
Well, because Friday is one day.
No.
Saturday is the second day. Sunday's the third day.
No, it isn't.
It doesn't say he was resurrected in 3 days.
No, it says just like the prophet Jonah was in the.
It says on the third day he arose.
Well, if you go back and read the scripture, it says very clearly he left the only sign that he was the Messiah. Was it just like the prophet Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish? He was going to be in the grave. And if you go back and look at the Hebrew, that is 3 days, 72 hours, or not 1 minute less and not 1 minute more.
There are biblical scholars who say there's no way that we can equate what we perceive as a time and the time back then and in God's eyes what time means.
Well, biblical scholars will just about do anything in order to teach their beliefs. And that's what God's getting ready to put an end to, this kind of haughtiness, this kind of pride on the earth, because people will not obey God.
As that preacher. walked out on, walked out of the room in the funeral home in Mobile, Alabama, when he kept on and kept talking about this miserable world and how lucky.
Well, that was him. That's how he felt.
Well, yeah, but that's how you talk.
I'm just talking about man is not obedient to God, and that's going to change.
Take care of all of us. This is a miserable world. Now, you don't use that word, but that's what you're preaching. This is a miserable world. Very few believers, especially the leaders of the various religions.
Well, just like you said, I don't teach that, and I haven't said that, but it is miserable in the sense that man will not obey God. Man doesn't keep the law. Look at your movies. Look at the things on TV today. Look at all the garbage we've got out here that our kids are being taught. It's because of the commandments not being kept, because man doesn't obey the law.
Hey, man is inherently evil.
No, he is, and he has the capacity for good and evil. That's how God created us. But
many men are not evil, although inherently they potentially are, but they rise above that. You're lumping virtually everybody in the same group. That we're all sinners, we're all behind all this filthy television and these crummy phonograph records.
I didn't say you were, but, you know, when it comes to religion, there's obviously some bias here. And, you know, what about the Sabbath? What about the holy days? Why won't people obey those? Why won't people live by those?
People won't. There are millions of people go to church every Saturday in Judaism and other religions, and Sunday primarily in Christianity.
Well, the Sabbath isn't just a weekly occurrence. It's a yearly occurrence, too. They're holy days, and people don't keep those. They don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Trumpets.
Well, so everybody is responsible. All the people who do keep those sacraments are going to have to suffer with the people who don't.
Well, this whole world's going to suffer. I'm going to suffer. We're all going to suffer.
I don't think you're going to suffer.
Well, we'll all suffer.
I don't think I'm going to suffer, because I don't think it's going to happen quite that way. I believe Jesus Christ is going to come back. I believe he was here. I'm not sure he rose from the dead, but I believe he was here. And I'm not sure he's ever crucified, frankly. I mean, excuse me, whether he died. I know I have some problems, but generally speaking, I believe that a Day of Atonement is coming somehow or the other, but it's going to come from a merciful God. But God, a just God, doesn't mean that you're going to get away with a lot of things, that you're going to get your just due. I believe that. I believe that. But, man, you paint, yours is doom and gloom.
No, it's not doom and gloom. It's actually the gospel message. It's the good news. It's the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Finally, after 6,000 years of man doing his own thing and messing up this earth, God is bringing his own kingdom, his own government to the earth. And that's what the gospel message is. It's the good news of the kingdom of God that's coming at the end of all this mess.
Then it's God's fault for having put us here in the first place.
No, it's man's fault for not obeying him.
Hot Dog Radio, WASO, coming to New York. Ronald Wineland, The Prophesized End Time, is a book. We're going to be telling you how to get it, and perhaps Mr. Wineland has his own website. We'll find out all about that. But I think I suspect a dichotomy here, and let me explain. You say on the one hand that very few people are following the real way of God, Christ, God. And on the other hand, you say more Americans are talking about the end of the world now. That seems to be a conflict there. If so few people are following, let's say, the dictates of the Almighty, why in the heck are so many more talking about the end time? It seems to me to be a conflict. Maybe you can reconcile those two views.
Well, I'm not sure what you're saying there, but anyway, I'll try to answer the best I can.
Okay.
First, in the book here, The Prophesied End Time, it is trying to help people to understand some of the things that are taking place. There are a lot of fears out here. People have, you know, they listen to radio, they listen to TV, and just like this week here, there have been some specials on talking about the reality that even experts believe that there are nuclear weapons either here or coming, that they're out there, and that they're going to be used. And it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when they actually are used. Now, that's scary to people because it's a scary thing. And the reality is that is exactly what's going to take place. Terrorists are going to have their way in many ways in this country, and it's going to be a horrifying thing as it takes place, and people are fearful of those kinds of things. Even our economy is a reflection of these things. We haven't recovered from 9/11 yet, and if something else happens soon here now, just on the tail end of some of this, even greater, it's going to shatter our economy. It almost did then. Wall Street had to close down for a little while, and that's a horrifying thing if things like that begin to take place. But that is exactly what's going to happen.
Wall Street is not the economy, okay?
No, it's not the economy, but it represents very much the economy of the world.
Well, but you're putting worldly things with more temporal things. I don't get it. I mean, we're either you're talking about the economy, you're talking about atomic weapons, hydrogen weapons, or whatever. Those are very temporal things, are they not?
Well, they're realities of things that are going to begin to take place to us. We're going to have a collapse of this government, of this country.
Why?
Because it's prophesied that that's how it's going to take place. It's prophesied how the end of 6,000 years is going to happen exactly the way it's going to happen, and very specific countries are included. Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Western Europe. Now, other parts of Europe and Eastern part of Europe, that's going to be a totally different story. There are going to be 10 nations that come out of that entire European Union that are finally going to rise up when these things begin to happen to us, when we begin to fall as a country, begin to be brought down from the things that are going to happen here alone.
Prophecies are contained in the Revelations.
They're in Revelation. They're throughout the Old Testament as well. They're throughout.
You say that Canada, United States, and some other countries are specifically, and I guess in their own way, mentioned.
Yes, they're. People don't know who we are as a people. This country, other countries, our peoples are mentioned in the Bible. People are just some of the nations long ago that have spread throughout the earth, tribes and so forth. They've become larger, just like Judah. Judah became a tribe that everybody knows today. They know them as a Jewish people. They know who they are. They don't know where the rest of those tribes of Israel are. They don't know where Assyria is today and some of the other nations, but they're still here, and they're very distinct peoples, and there are prophecies that tell what's going to happen to them at the end time. And
are you getting this biblically, or perhaps a little dash of Voltaire, or what?
No, it's biblically. It's all it is. It's out of the Bible. It's those things that are recorded through history in 6,000 years of man, what God has been doing with mankind.
Now, I want to get into, stay with the end of time. And you say that we're getting our just due because we've got crummy television and radio and
not just a reflection of what man is like.
Okay. Now, you also recommend what can be done to prepare for the end of time. I think maybe one of your suggestions would be we get the group of vigilantes together, maybe blow up HBO.
It's not about HBO. It's not about Hollywood. It's about the world. It's about all mankind. We're all going. We're doing our own thing. We have for 6,000 years, and the point being is that God's just bringing an end to 6,000 years of man's rule, and He's going to establish His rule. Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel message is, Jesus Christ is coming back to establish the kingdom of God.
But what can we do?
Repent.
I was being facetious, of course, and disrespectful, and I didn't. That was not intentional. What can be done to prepare for the end of time, Ronald?
There is nothing that anyone can do in the sense of how they're going to protect themselves. That's why I was real candid with you. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I've known people that talk about different religions and different ones who believe that people are going to be whisked away and protected from things. Well, that's not the way it's going to be. Everyone's going to suffer on this earth. Everyone's going to share in what's getting ready to happen here. It's not a pleasant thing. I'm not real tickled about bringing this message either, but it's something I have to do. And, I understand where you're coming from. I understand where people are coming from. But still, what's going to take place is going to take place. And there's a process that's going to happen here as far as this country is concerned and its demise and the rise of a third world war that's also prophesied in the scripture here. And that's going to be started by that group in Europe. They've done it before. They've done it in two world wars before, and they're getting ready to do it a third time, And it's not a popular thing to talk about, but that's the reality.
Let's talk more about religions and religious leaders, and maybe more specificity. Talk more about that and what you say in your book about these people and how so many millions of people are being misled.
Well, it's the age-old story that man hasn't wanted to do what God says, and neither have the teachers. It's just like in the time of Elijah. If you go back and look in the Old Testament, it talks about Elijah, and he was striving to tell what God was giving the people at that time as a message, as what was going to happen to them as a people, and the captivity they would go into if they didn't repent and change. And they had 400 priests, ministers, teachers of Baal. It was referred to as Baal, but they still used the name of God in the Old Testament. And, you know, they misled the people, and that's what he was telling them. You've misled the people because of this. You're all going into captivity if you don't change. And that's the way it is today. People are, they have their own ideas. There's every kind of, look at traditional Christianity, hundreds of different ideas and beliefs, and no one agrees. And yet God says there is one God, there's one Lord, there's one faith, the one belief, one gospel. And yet there's everything under the sun out here, and that can't be with God. There's only one way of life to live. There's only one truth. There's only one God. There's only one Jesus Christ. And yet today there are literally thousands of Jesus Christ taught. You know, he's cloned into so many different beings that if it was true, that there had to be thousands of them to represent what is being taught out here.
So what about the end time, Elijah, and then you have... The second Elijah. What is that all? Chapter 3 is the end time Elijah.
Well, Jesus Christ talked about an Elijah that would come at the end time. He talked about John the Baptist being one that was preparing the way for his first coming. He talked about one who had a job, had a function to do in restoring things as far as the church was concerned, and that this individual would send out the gospel message into the world, but man was going to reject it, and because man would reject it, that was God's final warning and witness to mankind, and to show that man is indeed the same at the end of 6,000 years as he's always been. He will not listen to his servants. And that's why I refer to Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong as being that Elijah to come. He came, he taught this way of life, he went to world leaders, to those that not even the Pope has even visited. And he talked to them about this way of life, and people rejected it. They didn't want it. And so he died, and that's the message of God. Because man rejected the end time Elijah, judgment has already come. This is the end of 6,000 years, and things will happen exactly the way he said, because man will not repent. It's just like the Sabbath and Easter. You know, you tell people about things like that, and Christmas is a bunch of hooey, came out of, you know, the mass of Christ. There's no mass of Christ, you know. And so you tell about those things, and people don't like it. They get hopping mad. They, you know, you're taking something away from them. You know, giving gifts to children, isn't that a nice thing? Well, the only thing is, it's not from God, and God didn't command that. It's worshiping a different God. And you tell people that, and they get mad. They get upset. Well, that's what God's bringing it into, the confusion of religion in the world, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity.
So more harm is done by someone acknowledging Christmas as the birth of Jesus Christ than not even acknowledging Jesus Christ at all in that regard.
It's not the true Jesus Christ. It is a Christ that is being taught, but it's not the true Jesus Christ. It doesn't honor God. It doesn't represent Jesus Christ. It doesn't honor the true Jesus Christ in any fashion or form, because it's a lie, because he wasn't even born that time of year. First of all, he was born in the fall of the year, and most scholars will agree to that.
What difference does that really make?
Because it's a lie. Anything, you know, it doesn't keep with the commandments. If it's a lie and it misrepresents what is God from God, and it paints God in a foolish way.
But suppose a person keeps faithfully the Ten Commandments and has all of his or her life, but also believes Jesus, the Jesus Christ of Christmas time. That person's in a heap of trouble.
Well, that person just isn't obeying God then. I mean, that's right. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. If he's not keeping the Ten Commandments then, because he's committing idolatry. He's worshiping a different God. That God condemns that throughout the Bible. You don't make your own religion. You don't make God after your own image. And yet that's what Israel has done. That's what traditional Christianity has done. We have all these different beliefs because teachers and priests and ministers, they want to create God after their own fashion.
Then you could believe that a person can commit a sin in the eyes of God if that person has no conception that he is committing a sin.
Well, sin is sin, and God is going to reveal those things that to everyone as time goes along here and give people an opportunity in his world to know what is true. This world today is not God's.
It's a miserable world.
It's not God's world.
It's so miserable. My aunt was just so lucky to have died and no longer be in this miserable world.
Well, that's a sad outlook on life. But still, nevertheless, God has given us life. Life is a precious thing to hold on to. Relationships are precious things to hold on to.
Now, you mentioned the Pope, and I wanted to ask you, I'm glad you did, you reminded me, I guess the popes throughout the history of Catholicism are in a heap of trouble when Jesus Christ comes back.
Yeah, they have a lot of repenting to do.
Yeah.
Just like most of Christianity, just like Judaism. People have a lot of repenting to do. This whole world does. 6,000 years of man has a lot of repenting to do because man, the history of the Bible is that man has rejected God. They have rejected the truth. They don't like what he has to tell them to do. That's why they killed the prophets. That's why they killed Jesus Christ. And I know that's why some will hate me. They don't like to hear these things.
Well, you're not the first person to profess to know the only, the real, the only right way.
That's true.
And you will not have been the last, I'll tell you that. But
well, it's getting close to the last because there's not much more time for anybody else to rise up to claim it.
There we go. Ronald Wineland, W-E-I-N-L-A-N-D, The Prophesized End Time. Tell us how to get the book. Do you have your own website?
Yes, we do. It's theend.com, the-end or the-end.com. They can get it there, or they can get the September issue of Reader's Digest. It gives the address there where they can write in Dallas, Texas to get the book. There's an advertisement in there about one of the planes that went down on 9/11, and it's right in the middle of the book, Reader's Digest, if they forget this. But that's about the easiest way. Or go to a local bookstore. It's in the bookstores. They can, if it's not on the shelves, they can order it, The Prophesied End Time. Or, again, go to theend.com, the-end.com, and get the book there.
Let's take a couple of minutes more, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I want to ask you about the presidential race coming up. What do you have to say about it? What does God have to say about it? What do you think?
Well, again, politics is something that God has allowed man to do, to have on this earth. He's allowed different governments and so forth. And I don't get involved in the politics. It doesn't go with being a minister.
Are you registered?
No, I don't vote. I don't get involved in politics because politics, by its very nature, is not good.
Well, but politics gets involved with you, right? Whether you like it or not.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, but you don't vote.
No, I don't, because I represent a different way of life, a kingdom that's coming, and I don't think it's wise that a minister would get involved in those things. So I don't get involved in them.
Well, let me ask you this: do you have any personal feelings as a man, an American citizen, as to even though you don't vote, is it immaterial to you who wins that race, or do you have some leanings toward either Kerry or Bush, or does it matter?
Well, in the end, when everything's said and done, it's not going to matter who's in charge when these things start happening, because whoever who's in charge in the next 4 years is going to start reaping all these things that happen anyway, regardless of who's in charge. It's not going to change what's going to happen. It's not going to stop the terrorism. It doesn't. I know that some feel that if they get one in, that maybe it'll keep the terrorism back. Well, it's not going to keep it back. It's going to happen regardless, and it's kind of a frustrating thing, but it's a reality of life. We're just at that time where there are going to be multiple millions in this nation die, and this country is going to be brought down so weak that Europe rises up and starts World War III. It's a sick thing, but it's a reality of what's going to take place.
Okay, thank you very much, and we'll see how your book does. And your website, again, is theend-time.
Well, it's the-end.com.
Oh, okay. Well,
yes.
The title of the book is end-time. I'm sorry about that, but yeah. the-endtime.com. And the title of the book, The Prophesized End Time. Thank you, Ronald Wineland.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, and thank you for not getting mad at me.
No. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
You just feel sorry for me, right?
Well, you know, I feel bad for this whole world. This isn't pretty.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.